Sunday, April 2, the city is closing its roads for the Tour de Brisbane, and 10Ks is perfect for newbies or young guns. More info at tourdebrisbane.org.
0484101045. That's the number. Text the burner phone anytime. Welcome to the podcast. Let's kick it off with a couple we couldn't get to during the show.
Treno.
Is that what's Treno?
That's
is that
short
Trent?
For Trent. But it's actually it's longer than Trent.
Can we put that down?
Treno.
When your nickname's longer than your name.
We used to have a Trent at school and people called him Treno.
Treno.
Well, that's just stupid.
Trent Davis.
What does this? I'm sure this Treno's smart.
Speaking about cramping this morning made me laugh. After all those killer hot days last week, I was unhooking the trailer after pitching a roof all day in 38 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And I've cramped up my hammy, then my calf smacked my head on the back of the tray of my car.
Dear.
Jesus, that is so true.
What a day. Can I just,
you know how he's talking about being on a roof? So what happens? Your calves are just killing anyway.
Tensing.
And pickle juice!
We were talking about cramping, Marto. I had a boyfriend who used to cramp during sex.
He needs to get on the pickle juice.
Can we talk about this tomorrow?
I needed to get off the pickle juice.
Can you hold on to this until tomorrow? I find this very fascinating.
Sure.
And the cramping, the best cramping footballers of all time, but also cramp rooting.
Yeah, cramp rooting.
Cramp rooting.
Cramp, most, what did we call it? Crampy footballer.
The crampy third, eh?
Crampiest footballer.
Oh, and I need from you at some stage, Marto, the greatest ever 13 redheads too.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Brad Myers.
Jack Reed.
Was he a 13?
Yeah. No, but...
He was
oh, no, the, but greatest, no, no, the whole team.
The whole team.
Oh, okay.
The greatest 13.
Brad Myers.
Jack Reed's
got to be in there.
Brad Myers.
Paddy Vorton.
Oh, good one. Who's the bloke we talked about this week?
Corey Horsburgh.
Caboolture Corey.
Yeah, Caboolture Corey.
Not Cornubia Corey.
Not Cornubia Corey.
He didn't have red hair, does he?
No rang in there.
Yeah, okay.
Are Brett
you sure
Dallas?
He hasn't got red... Oh, Brady Dallas. Is he still alive?
I don't know.
Head into some tough times.
John Sattler's not. We know that.
I'll say Ben Hannett, just in case he's listening
to the
podcast.
He's a blonde. Strawberry blonde?
That's what we say, strawberry blonde. Put Ben in there.
Brady Dallas, do you see what I... Do you see an icy?
Do you see an icy?
Mm, up in Mackay.
Okay. I see.
Caboolture Corey.
Peter Wallace.
How could
I forget?
Peter Wallace.
Is he still down at the Panthers, Peter Wallace?
I think so.
He hasn't retired yet, has he?
He'd be developing new players. Okay, that's enough. 248. We got six already.
Nigel Cleveland.
Footballers. That's what we wanted to do.
Did any rangers, who were the notorious ones that played for Origin, played in Origin?
Fatty Vorton.
Is he the only one?
I can't think of anyone else.
Scott Minto, he was bald.
We'll get there.
James Graham, would you consider him a ranger?
Yes,
can you do the crampiest redheads as well, please?
Oh,
there's a cheering going on out there. For our team of redheads.
Oh, yeah, Dylan Napa.
A lot of them are going. Well, we're halfway through. We've got seven redheads.
Dylan Napa.
What? Dylan Napa.
This is all Snowy's. Snowy's loving the redhead team here. Snowy's bald too.
Otherwise, listen,
we'll have to do something on the show tomorrow. I don't give it all away on the podcast.
We need five. We need help.
Nige in Cleveland got in touch as well on the burner phone. Hey, legends, I moved from Ipswich to Cleveland. Is that being a turncoat or is that smart?
Smart.
You're talking about moving north side.
That's smart.
South side. I won't be able to make the game Friday. I'm working in WA. But we didn't invite you, Nige.
We didn't ask you to come.
I'll be wearing my Broncos garb all day. Put your hooves up.
Put your hooves up. So he's over in WA where everyone's going, what are you wearing, dickhead? Like, no one knows who the Broncos are in WA.
No one knows what rugby league is.
No, that's right.
Can I ask a question?
What do you want?
You know how we're doing north and north v south. Is there such thing as the east v west? Because Nigel's moved from the west over to the east.
Yeah, we've got, how many more places have we got on the tug of war team? Three.
That's
east versus
it's actually, I find it hard to relate to north south because when I came to Brizzy, I was at UQ. It was west side. Yeah, west of the river. It was always west.
I've got mates. My old building partner, he lived at Indooroopilly.
Mm.
He didn't ever want to come anywhere further east than that to do work. He always wanted to stay over that side of town.
Brookfield, Kenmore, Moggle.
He happy to cross the river, whereas Chindley. I have a mental barrier with the river. He was happy to go across the river at Indooroopilly Bridge and do work there.
You don't like driving anywhere further than 5Ks.
That's correct.
I'm a long-term driver. I'm happy to drive 30, 40, 50 minutes. You're like, oh, yuck. No, 10 minutes tops.
Yeah, 10 minutes tops.
Moggle Road's a nightmare. Have you seen they put a coal mine in there now?
Is that what they're doing?
I think it's a strip mine.
Uranium?
I think so.
Or just coal?
What the fuck is going on out there?
Did they find uranium at Indooroopilly?
They put a strip mine in on Caxton Street too. Have you seen that one?
What do you mean?
Strip mine.
Honeybees.
Love and rockets.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane has.
Hey, I'm hip. I'm cool. I got an Apple Watch. Technology I'm down with.
Whoa, this is stinky. What? I don't know if you can say I'm hip.
I'm hip. I'm cool. I have an Apple Watch. I'm not currently not wearing it. I forgot to put it on because it's not charged. Because I always
you're good at this technology thing.
Charge it. It's so annoying. But I was wearing it over the weekend. I was out at CMC at the music festival out there. Had a great time. And my watch decided to interrupt me on several occasions throughout the night to let me know that the noise levels were too loud. I was like, "Oh, righto, Karen, shut up."
Did it give a decibel readout?
Yeah, over 90 decibels it's supposed to be.
That's loud.
Yeah. So it kept saying, "Oh, the noise that you're listening to is over 90 decibels. We suggest that you move away to a quieter area."
Health warning.
Don't be listening to it in excess of 30 minutes or something like that, because it could cause permanent hearing loss. And I was like,
"You're being a Karen."
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't do sun, does it? You know how it goes,
UV. Well, it tells you to breathe, to stand. To breathe? Yeah, it says take a minute to breathe. Oh, you don't have Apple Watches. You're Samsung.
I've got a Garmin.
What are you, a Garmin?
I don't have a watch at all. But who's forgetting to breathe?
Well, it has all different...
breathe?
It says stop and breathe, and you take a minute. It's called mindfulness, so it's all about breathing.
My wife's watch, hers tells her to walk.
Stand and walk.
She's been sitting down too long, it tells you.
Mine says take a minute, and it counts a minute on your watch.
And do what? Breathe.
You just got to sit, be mindful, take a breath, have a moment. It's mini meditation throughout the day. It says it's really good for mental health and reoxygenating the brain, because everyone's so stressed and busy these days. Yeah, we wear it like a badge of honour.
Because of their watch. They're reminding them they're going to die.
Because we've got Karen-like objects all around
us. But I've just found the official, it says, repeated long-term exposure to sounds at this level can damage your hearing. Right? It's incredible. But I thought, here's another thing telling me what to do, like as if my phone is enough. Now my watch is telling me what to do. My car tells me what to do. Like everything's just telling you what to do these days.
I'm glad these watches weren't around when I was 18, because this would be the warning it'd give you.
I'd just shake my head and think, well, lucky to be alive.
Listen, my wife's got drives a Jimny, okay? We put the dog in the other day, driving along, went, what the hell? It was beeping, but you got to, because the back seat's got a sensor, and I saw it.
Oh, no one's sitting in it.
No seatbelt. Is it the door?
Have you not had this, Margo? Mine's got the lane assist.
But how about when you put your handbag down, my wife gets this on the passenger seat.
Does that happen too? A handbag?
On the passenger seat.
Too heavy from all the cash.
Get stuff. Is that right? A handbag triggers
it. We set it off because it thinks someone's sitting there.
You know the only one I do like that it tells you when there's a speed camera or a red light camera?
Mine's, have you got one of those cars?
Yeah, in my Land Cruiser. It says...
Have you got it turned off?
Approaching speed camera.
Yeah, well,
no, I've had to turn it on. I've only got one point.
Why don't you pay attention to it occasionally?
Jesus. 133353. Should we do Karen objects? The object in your life that is over-warning you for stuff?
Other than your actual wife, who's a Karen.
Yeah, correct.
Power tools
got this?
Power tools do it.
Whole life does it. Phones do it. They tell you, you're running low on energy. Listen, just do your job and I'll run the whole situation. I'll run the show. Power tools are a pain in the ass these days. They're trying to boss you around.
Here we go. We're getting some calls. Do you want to hunt down the most unnecessary warning that we can from an object?
Can I just say on the back of this, there is an article in the paper today which says we've got to stop using the word Karen.
Who says who? Karen.
Yeah. No, she's a cat.
Someone called
Kath. So now we're going to call them cats. Your wife's cat.
Yeah, I know. That'll get me in
we'll
trouble.
We'll come up with another one.
Would you mind?
All right, we're getting some calls here. I can see Sean and Stephen are calling in. 133353.
So we want inanimate objects
warning you about stuff. And what's the stupidest warning that you've got from a Karen-like object?
Karen!
Triple M.
Daniel from Tigerm on the burner phone said, my watch tells me when to be active. Damn thing is fat shaming me. Jeez, I know, Daniel, I'm with you.
That annoys me so much. What about Adam from Camp Hill? His car's telling him to slow down in a school zone even at 10 p.m. at night.
Oh,
shut up. Get out of it.
Slow down. You're approaching a school zone. I'm like, I know there's no kids at school.
Jaden in Perga.
G'day, Jaden.
Tori. 133353. We're talking Karen devices. What's pestering you in your life?
I got a warning on my chainsaw saying, do not put genitals on blade.
That's the one.
hey, I'm hip, I'm cool, I got an Apple Watch, technology I'm down with.
Whoa, this is stinky. What? I don't know if you can say I'm hip.
I'm hip, I'm cool. Well, I have an Apple Watch. I'm not currently not wearing it. I forgot to put it on because it's not charged because I always
You're good at this technology thing.
Charge it, it's so annoying. But I was wearing it over the weekend. I was out at CMC at the music festival out there, had a great time, and my watch decided to interrupt me on several occasions throughout the night to let me know that the noise levels were too loud. I was like, oh, righto, Karen, shut up.
Did it give a decibel readout?
Yeah, over 90 decibels it's supposed to be.
That's loud.
Yeah. So it kept saying, oh, the noise that you're listening to is over 90 decibels. We suggest that you move away to a quieter area.
Health warning.
Don't be listening to it in excess of 30 minutes or something like that because it could cause permanent hearing loss. And I was like, stop
it. You're being a Karen.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't do sun, does it? You know how it goes,
UV.
Well,
it tells you to breathe, to stand.
To breathe?
Yeah, it says take a minute to breathe. Oh, you don't have Apple Watches. You're Samsung.
I've got a Garmin.
What are you, a Garmin?
I don't wear a watch at all. But yeah, who's forgetting to breathe?
Well, it has all different...
breathe?
It says stop and breathe and you take a... It's called mindfulness. So it's all about breathing.
My wife's watch, hers tells her to walk.
Stand, walk,
stand and
move.
Walk. She's been sitting down too long, it tells you.
Mine says take a minute and it counts a minute on your watch.
And do what? Breathe.
You just got to sit... Be mindful, take a breath,
a
moment.
You're a watch.
It's mini meditation throughout the day. It says it's really good for mental health and reoxygenating the brain because everyone's so stressed and busy these days. We wear it like a badge of honour.
Because of their watch. They're reminding them they're going to die.
Because we've got Karen-like objects all around
us. But I've just found the official, it says repeated long-term exposure to sounds at this level can damage your hearing.
Right?
It's incredible. But I thought, here's another thing telling me what to do, you know, like as if my phone is enough now. My watch is telling me what to do. My car tells me what to do. Like everything's just telling you what to do these days.
I'm glad these watches weren't around when I was 18 because this would be the warning it'd give you.
I just shake my head and think, well, lucky to be alive.
Listen, my wife's got drives a Jimny, okay? We put the dog in the other day, driving along, went, what the hell? It was beeping, but you got to, because the back seat's got a sensor, and I saw it.
Oh, no one's sitting in it.
No seatbelt. Is it the door?
So
stop
annoying.
Have you not had this, Margo?
Mine's got the lane assist.
But how about when you put your handbag down, my wife gets this on the passenger seat.
A handbag?
On the passenger seat.
Too heavy from all the cash.
Get stuff.
Yeah,
is that
too.
Right? A handbag triggers
it. Set it off because it thinks someone's sitting there.
You know the only one I do like that it tells you when there's a speed camera or a red light camera?
Mine's, have you got one of those cars?
Yeah, in my Land Cruiser. It says...
Have you got it turned off?
Approaching speed camera.
Yeah, well, you...
No,
why
I've had to turn it on.
It?
I've only got one point.
Why don't you pay attention to it occasionally?
Jesus. 133353. Should we do Karen objects? The object in your life that is over-warning you for stuff?
Other than your actual wife
tool.
Who's a Karen.
Yeah, correct.
Power tools
got
it.
This?
Power tools.
What do they do?
Our whole life does it. Phones do it. They tell you, you're running low on energy. Listen, just do your job and I'll run the whole situation. I'll run the show. Mm. Power tools are a pain in the ass these days. They're trying to boss you around.
Here we go. We're getting some calls. Do you want to hunt down the most unnecessary warning that we can from an object?
Can I just say on the back of this, there is an article in the paper today which says we've got to stop using the word Karen.
Who says who? Karen.
No, she's a
someone
cat.
Someone called
Kath. So now we're going to call them cats. Your wife's cat.
Yeah, I know. That'll get me in
we'll
trouble.
We'll come up with another one.
Would you mind?
All right, we're getting some calls here. I can see Sean and Stephen are calling in. 133353.
So we want inanimate objects
warning you about stuff. And what's the stupidest warning that you've got from a Karen-like object? Triple M.
Daniel from Tigerm on the burner phone said, my watch tells me when to be active. Damn thing is fat-shaming me. Jeez, I know, Daniel, I'm with you.
That annoys me so much. What about Adam from Camp Hill? His car's telling him to slow down in a school zone even at 10 p.m. at night.
Oh,
shut
up.
Get out of it.
Slow down.
Get
you're approaching a school zone. I'm like, I know there's no kids at school.
Jaden in Perga.
G'day, Jaden.
Tori. 133353. We're talking Karen devices. What's pestering you in your life?
I got a warning on my chainsaw saying, do not put genitals on blade.
That's the one.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Hey, let's quickly talk the Broncos. Of course, I think we got Adam Reynolds either tomorrow or Thursday on the show, maybe even Friday, our favourite Bronc. He's been unbelievable, Adam Reynolds. His kicking game, he just waddles around the field and then just puts him into field positions, and then he's got speed outside him like Ezra Mam, Katoni Staggs and Reece Walsh and Selwyn Cobbo. Stop me at some stage. They're quite incredible, the Bronc.
Carrying that team, isn't he?
My shoulders!
Well, I know he's carrying them, but he's putting him in the position for them to do unreal things. I want to give a warning to a young bloke who's magic, Reece Walsh. Magic last weekend. That was his first game. Magic on the weekend.
Reece Lightning.
Reece
Lightning.
Incredible. He is incredible. Try assist. I think two try assists. He did everything on the weekend, and he opens the game up. But he's becoming a dickhead. He's becoming Jerome Luai. Did you see after the game?
Confident.
Overconfident. Yes, I know he has beautiful eyes. I know he has lovely thighs. I know he has...
Gorgeous skin.
He is gorgeous
skin.
That
bone structure.
I know. He's a wonderful looking young man, but he's got getting the Jerome Luai's about
What do you mean?
Being an overconfident smart ass, and it'll come back and get you at some stage. It always does. You never go through life like he's going at the moment. So two games, just pull your head. I just want to issue a general, pull your head in. I know he
Stay
won't be
humble.
Listening.
Find some humility.
Selwyn Cobbo, he got into trouble because he got overconfident, started bagging Kevy out, and then now he's pulled his head in, and have a look how he's going magnificently.
It's very Katoni much that Staggs. Larrikin vibe, isn't it? You know, they're a bit of a larrikin. Until they like someone, to have a bit of a joke.
Well, somebody has to give him... It doesn't sound like it's happening
What's
at the
done
Broncos
that
head
you don't
court.
Like, Marto?
What's that one after you score a try and you cross your arms and turn side onto the camera and go, that one?
I think from what I've seen...
I own Lang Park.
Well, yeah, they're
Suncorp
saying this
Stadium.
Is our home ground. It always has been, it always will be. I think because Ezra Mam did it as well.
Ezra Mam did it after he did it. Ezra Mam didn't know why he was doing it.
Well, I've got a quote.
Reece, well, yeah, what do you got?
The quote from Ezra Mam says, I saw that Walshie did the celebration and thought I'd back it up and send
copycat smarter.
And send a strong message that this is Broncos home ground.
Well, hold on. It's the Reds home ground. It's the Roars home ground. It's the Dolphins home ground. It's Ed Sheeran's home ground.
I think you'll find it's Ed Sheeran's home ground. He's got the attendance. Hey,
yes. Pull your head in. You may as well do it now because we a lot of people want to love you and we think you're fabulous, Reece Walsh. But somebody at the Broncos, pull him aside and say, Harlan, mate, just run fast and play hard.
Yeah, you've played two games.
You've played two
you've
games.
You've played two games for the Broncos. Calm down.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbaners.
We often hear of stuff-ups at work, you know, when it's that old saying, you had one job, right, and you missed your opportunity to do what
it
was
up,
that you were
cost
supposed
the company
to do.
Hundreds and millions of dollars.
Well, in this case, potentially just a couple of $100,000, Marto.
Well, what are we talking about?
You know, when you take your car to the mechanic, you leave it in trusty, good hands, you know, they're there to fix your car, any little problems, they iron out for you and fix it.
Big shout-out to all the mechanics. Hope the knuckles are
doing an incredible
healing.
Job out there, just laying on their backs, changing oil.
And they don't lay on their backs much anymore.
Don't they lie underneath on their
now they hoist
things?
It up.
Oh, they've got
it up,
hoist.
Yeah. It's really opened up the opportunities for fat mechanics, that's what I find, because they never used to be able to get underneath cars. Now they can.
Well, now their bellies just would hang out under their
shirts. Their overalls.
Lift up. Yeah, well, this mechanic, he's got himself in a bit of trouble.
What?
One man's trip to the workshop has ended up costing him more than just the service fee. It's understood a mechanic took his client's rare 1986 Commodore VL worth around $150,000 for a test drive when he lost control, hitting three parked cars.
Oopsie daisy. What do you say?
When did VL Commodores become $150,000?
Mate, rare collector's item, those bad boys.
Jesus.
Yeah, can you imagine though? Like, how do you explain that? You know, like the bill generally from your mechanic, you go, what, $100 just to change
the
oil?
What, $12 for rags? You see, obviously, that one.
But now
he's
going to have to pay for the car, $150,000 potentially.
Well, they're going to have to restore it. Well, it sounds like he crashed it, right?
Yeah,
just to see if everything was all right.
Did he give it a bit of humpty?
To the Gold Coast side. With all the
hooning. He thought, I've taken this opportunity. Oh, this is a pretty awesome car. I'm going to take it for a drive.
You hear about this with valets sometimes. I don't know if they're apocryphal tales, but they've got a Lamborghini and they scratch it in the garage or whatever. And
while then they're parking at the casino and stuff. One job.
One job, mate.
Do you want to get a couple of calls? I've got a little bit of time here. 1-4-3-5-3. Just stuff up. You had one job and you stuffed.
What about painters? They have one job. Like, they just paint that wall and they spill paint and it ruins something.
You had one job.
One job, mate. Just keep it on the wall, mate.
$1.5 million at an auction. Some of these cars are selling for, Marto.
Oh, of course.
That's money laundering.
Yeah, that is money laundering. This is an insurance job.
Record was set mid-pandemic for a 71 Ford Falcon GTHO. Yeah, this is what I was saying. Phase three. Yeah. $1.15 million.
Yeah, I believe the GTHO because I've seen that happen, but I can't believe.
It's in the financial review. It must be real.
It's off your phone.
1-3-3-5-3.
VL Commodore, can you please say, there's not $150,000 VL Commodore.
Maybe for insurance purposes, Marto. Rod from Burpengary toured the door of a Cadillac as an apprentice once. Oh, dear. Cost him $3,000 and took 12 months to get a door from the States.
Rod. Don't crash the car.
Lift, Rod. Ben from Deeming Heights, you know something about this VL Commodore.
Yeah, I've just got to work. I'm standing in the car park and I hear this engine revving. I think, oh, it's a bit early for Kung Fu, isn't it? There's, you know, a few licorice strips around here anyway.
It was down at Ormo, Ben. Is that where the Gold Coast Lights are? Is it Hooning?
No. Just part of a little industrial estate.
With
the irony of it all being that it was right out of the front of Swain's motor body repair.
Oh, the repair shop. Well, one of the guys whose car was hit, there was three cars that were hit by this VL. He was one of the eyewitnesses and he said, well, that's what I do for a living. I fix cars. Yeah. So I need accidents to happen. So this is fine.
But how convenient, where was
the negligence, Ben? How did it hit three cars?
Obviously, with that amount of power,
yeah, it's too powerful for him.
It's just gone a bit sideways on him, and he had nothing, so it pushed a Hilux up onto the curb nicely.
Yeah.
He boned it. That one's not there today. The little Camry, it just sort of clipped the side.
Yes.
So it got a police aware sticker on it. But the little the ute at the back, the Isuzu, didn't get any aware sticker at all. It just had the back of it pushed up onto the hood. So
Ben, that's a wonderfully comprehensive report. But the police aware stickers, I drive past guys with that. What are they aware of? That it's a crap car? Is that Marto, Margo
and Dan on Triple M. I'd like to give you a royal update, if I may. Daniel, have you got some royal music?
Thank you very much. I brought my orchestra in.
How's the coronation countdown going?
Well, it's nearly here. What is it, the 6th of May?
6th of May.
6th of May.
April, May. We're getting down to six weeks away.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, there's a bit of contention, Marto, because you know how Prince Harry was contesting that he be invited. Because the royals were like, no, you said you didn't want to be a part of it. I'm angry at you, King Charles said. I'm angry at you for releasing that memoir and for doing that documentary and for bad-mouthing us and bagging us. So you're not invited.
What about the kids? Little kitties.
Well.
Didn't he leave? Yeah, I don't want to be royal anymore.
I don't want to be royal anymore. Yeah. I want my privacy.
I'm out. Didn't he come out?
He's American.
Yeah, well, see you, buddy.
The Sussexes are allegedly demanding a place on the Buckingham Palace balcony.
I read one of the magazines yesterday, Kath must have brought home, King Charles says Harry's no longer my son.
Oh.
Do they sometimes write stuff that's not true?
No, never.
Hey, whoa, how dare you? That's libelous.
That's a reputable, credible piece of journalism.
Thank you very much. Where are we at then?
Well, you asked about the children. Yeah. They're also asking for an acknowledgement during the festivities of their two children.
Mm.
These requests and the couple's apparent holding out until their wishes are granted could throw this historic event into chaos.
And is Oprah going to the coronation?
Oh, I don't
Almost
think
certainly.
So.
No,
absolutely
she,
not.
She would be front and centre, wouldn't she?
Absolutely not.
Can you give me a list? Sorry, am I interrupting
no,
too
go
much?
For it.
Could you give me a list on is anyone, like, are any Aussies going and even the King's son isn't going?
I don't even know.
Prince
like, is
Mary?
Hemsworth going?
Is Mary still Aussie? You know, the Danish.
Princess Mary. Yeah, no, she's Danish now.
She's she's one of us. She's from Tasmania.
Hemsworth? Any Hemsworths going?
Luke,
like,
I think.
Don't tell me that Liam and Luke are going.
No, Luke.
And Harry's not.
Prince Harry, if he goes, because we know in the past I've had issues with getting some acts for entertainment. So Elton John's turned them down. Yes. Spice Girls have turned them down.
I think Rod Stewart's knocked the king back.
No, well, if Prince Harry goes, he could always do a double act. He could appear on the balcony and then he can perform.
If you want my future, forget my past.
You don't need the Spice Girls.
If you want to get with me,
got Harry,
make it fast.
Doing the Spice
there
Girls.
There is one Australian actually going. Spice. Tell me which Australian's going. Have a listen to
I
this.
I hope you don't mind. Which I hope you don't mind.
Molly
could make an appearance.
All life is while you're in the world.
See, Harry could double up. He could do the Spice Girls and Elton John. We don't need them. We've got Harry. Get him there. That's cheap, free entertainment.
Is Wayne Bennett going?
Dolphin trainer?
Why would Wayne go?
Oh, greatest rugby league coach in the The King Charles loves rugby league.
Did he?
Yeah, oh God.
How about the Wally? How about our king?
Wally.
Anyway, I'm sorry to say, Harry.
Can we find out, are there any Australians going?
I don't know. You can't have your cake. Oh, no. Remember they said maybe Kylie and Danny Minogue might perform because of their UK ties.
Is that what you need at a coronation?
Is that the representative we want?
Is that it?
But I'm sorry to say it, Harry. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you don't want to be in the royal family, you don't get to go on the balcony. I'm sorry. Stand down in the crowd, you peasant.
Imagine him standing out there. Dad.
Waving.
Dad.
It's me.
I'm here, Dad.
I'm here. Over here. Oh, he's looking the other way.
Ed Sheeran's waving at me in the crowd.
Oh, dear.
Don't you know Marto, Margo and Dan on the radio.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Just to clarify, the fetlock, Achilles tendon of a horse.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the major.
The one that they run their fingers down and then they squeeze and then they pull the hind leg up to check their hooves. Is that what they do?
I'm not sure. I've never been a veterinarian. But what I did want to talk about is the toughest man of rugby league, Vale John Sattler.
Regarded as the toughest player to ever lace up a boot, John Sattler. He played in South Sydney's 1970 grand final victory against Manly with a broken jaw. He bled red and green.
Despite going out there against men far bigger in size, he always seemed to come out the winner.
That's so true.
Tough man.
He played once with a dislocated elbow, finished the game. Broken jaw, 69, but he won four premierships with South. It was incredible.
His son... Scotty Sattler.
Yeah.
Won a premiership. He was my dad, but it's funny. I always looked up to him if I was a fan.
I know. Incredible. Wally paid him a fair old tribute.
Off the field, he was known for his kindness, earning the nickname Gentleman John.
Johnny Sattler was a wonderful man, one of the nicest that you will ever meet.
Okay. Can I tell you my personal John Sattler story?
Go.
So he's 30 years of age, Margo, in 72. My dad was treasurer of West Rugby League Club here in Brisbane. They play out of Purtell Park. Dad was treasurer and they went, right, we've got to get ourselves out of the doldrums. So they bought about four blokes up from Sydney, a bloke called Harry Cameron. I can't remember the other two. I was a ball boy. I was 7 or 8 years of age.
Mm.
And John Sattler arrives.
Oh, wow.
1973 and 74, he played with Wes, and he was just so powerful, but he had the best teeth because obviously after he broke his jaw, they must have replaced his teeth. And it's one of my fascination with teeth. I think it goes all the way back to John Sattler, and he had beautiful hair. This is the days of the early 70s where everyone was hippies. I'm a little kid, so I'm in the dressing room. I saw on a regular basis John Sattler in the nude.
Oh.
Okay, that's the John Sattler that I know.
What
the
a
John
memory.
Sattler who'd be banging it up for West Rugby League Club, the Panthers.
Yeah.
And then you'd see him in the dressing room afterwards and he'd be. No, that's.
That's Molly.
That's Molly. magnificent. But what a tough bastard. So he was 31-32 there, and then he took off. North must have offered him more. You had to go to Bashup Park, and that's when West won the premiership in 75 and 76 for the local West Rugby League Club.
Incredible. Was a legend of South Sydney, but his son Scott went on to play for the Panthers.
Well, he didn't have Scotty until he moved up here with the missus. Went on to play Scotty played at a few clubs and finally found himself at that grand final in 2003 playing for the Panthers. But what then, a lot of people, older people will remember, he had the Runcorn Tavern for years.
Did he?
Had the Runcorn Tavern sats and he'd sit there. He always had his shirt tucked in. He was just perfectly, I'd never seen anything like it. Everyone else was
old
rough and ready.
Old school gentleman.
Old school gentleman. And then only last year, you remember the Whitlams, one of the great bands, Tim Friedman?
Blow Up the Pokies,
Righto.
No,
they also wrote this song, and I just want to leave it. John Sattler was a class individual. When I was a young fella, I know I saw him in the nude a lot, but I thought, wow, there's a human being. John Sattler, what a wonderful memory. And then he ran the runaway base, where you did the athletics carnival down the coast.
The
rugby league club over the road.
Yeah.
He ran that for years, and he's the only person outside the Breakfast Creek private bar to get a wooden cat, 4X provide beer off the wood. He was the only bloke, and every Friday afternoon, he'd tap it. I used to go there with my brother occasionally. He'd tap it, sats, and he'd hand out a beer to everyone. What a man.
Cool. The Rabbitohs will officially pay homage to Sattler in this Saturday night's home clash at Homebush, coincidentally against the Manly club, which he broke his jaw in the 1970 decider.
Oh, classic.
Mm. How quickly will Albo declare a national day of mourning? We could get a day off
Albo
here, Rabbitohs.
Albo would love him. This could be John Sattler Day, just an extra public holiday.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
And we've been helping our Dolphins players, actually. Jeez. I think we've been doing them a favour.
Mm.
So we just set the scene here quickly.
Well, we don't want to put too much pressure on it.
Well, we're about to talk to one of them. But who have we had on? We had Felice Kaufusi on round one.
Before the Roosters game.
Man of the match.
Artie Legacy Medal he got. Mm. And then we had the Hammer.
Hammer on, man of the match.
Yeah.
Then we had Tom Gilbert on last week.
Tom Gilbert, man of the match.
We are three from three, man of the matches.
Imagine which Dolphin you'd pick this week and you go, well, there's a bit of pressure on you to be man of the match. Mark Nichols!
Hey, guys, how are you?
The goat! Did you hear that, Mark?
Thanks for that.
That's okay.
All I needed is a bit more pressure going into this Friday night.
Hey, can we get a bit teary and play something? You've been quoted. You love Wayne Bennett because he had you at the Bunnies for a while, and he really always believed in you. And when you thought maybe you weren't going to get past second grade, Margo, listen to Mark Nichols talking about Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, I guess from that day, I just had this. The trust that Wayne had put in me. I just didn't want to let him down. And, you know, when the opportunity came up to come up here and be coached by Wayne again and I guess be a part of history at a new club, it's obviously the reason that I'm here where I am today.
Everyone's driving to work with tears in their eyes, aren't they?
Oh, Uncle Wayne. Amazing. He's good like that, isn't he, Mark?
funnily enough, my wife watched that and she said, you do know... when you met me, you were a reserve grader too. I'm equally responsible.
Every good man is an even more incredible woman.
It's Wayne Bennett.
Let's talk about this bloke. You're not as silly as people go, he just bangs it up. He's a very intelligent man, Mark Nichols, second row, front row for the Dolphins. Now, I read this story about a month ago. Can I throw it at you, Margo, and to Mark Nichols? Now, you were going to marry your wife, you were getting ready for the wedding, etc., and you're not the highest paid player in the NRL, but you did a little bit of homework and found you could book the church at Sydney University if you enrolled in a course. Just check, is this correct? You enrolled in a 2-day course so you could get the wedding cheap?
So if you're an alumni of Sydney Uni, you get a discount. But I worked out a little loophole that to be an alumni, you don't actually have to do a degree. You can just do a short course.
What did you study, Mark?
2-day course, I heard.
It was actually only a 1-day course.
Beautiful.
What did you study? What did you learn?
To be honest, I can't even remember.
And the wife must have been impressed. Does the wife tell everyone that you graduated from Sydney Uni?
No, she doesn't. She got the venue she wanted, and we got a little discount.
And you got an education, Mark. You can't remember what in, but
do you remember that you're playing the Broncos on Friday night at Suncorp 7 PM, Mark?
It's a bit hard to forget that one.
It is. It is the most pumped up game, the Battle of Brisbane, they're calling it. There's been a slinging match of sorts between the Dolphins and the Broncos marketing departments. They're throwing everything that they can at this. What's Wayne like at training? Is he telling you, don't read the media, don't watch the news, don't listen to it, let's just keep our heads in the game and focus on what we're doing?
Yeah, he's been pretty low-key to start the week. He's pretty smart, old Wayne. I think he knows, the build-up itself will get the players to where they need to be. He doesn't need to add any extra fuel to the fire. But
one of my favourite things that happened at South was, you know, Wayne would always tell us that he doesn't read the papers or listen to the media, and
yeah.
we actually someone got a photo of him down at the local fish and chips reading the paper
reading
one day.
Paper.
Put it up in the team meeting, and the boys absolutely loved it. So. If he tells you that he doesn't listen to the media or read the papers, he's lying.
He's lying.
Mark Nichols, you'd be described as a journeyman. You know, Bunnies, you played a few games there. The Storm, you played a few games there. But then all of a sudden, how did you get known as the GOAT, the greatest of all time? Like, I don't get where that started.
Oh, mate, it's funnily enough, it happened because there were some fans on social media that actually, you know, would give me a bit of stick and questioning how I kept getting in the team every week. And then a few other fans started to stick up to me and sarcastically saying, I don't know what you're talking about. He's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. He's the greatest.
Yeah, he's the greatest. And then it sort of just went back and forth like that. The boys picked up on it a little bit.
A mate of mine told me you've got a beer going. Are you making your own beer called the GOAT?
Yeah, well, you know, funnily enough, I got interviewed by Darren Lockie at one stage after I scored two tries by the Roosters, and he called me the GOAT about 3 times in 30 seconds, and I thought, how have I gotten to this point where I've got Darren Lockie calling me the GOAT? And up until that point, I was pretty embarrassed, but after that, I decided I may as well try and make some money out of
it.
He's a smart, he's a savvy individual when it comes to finance, isn't it? Saving on the wedding. You've got merchandise and beer going on now, and you're going to be, you got a chance to really perform and
be our man of the match this weekend.
Advertise it to the masses. 52,500 there.
Yeah.
Friday night. Mark
there's
Nichols.
A bit of a common theme here, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Don't drop the streak for us. We need to go 4 from 4. We need your man of the match,
well,
Mark Nichols.
With doubt over Felice Galfusi, whether he'll play,
you'll be
up front and centre, tackle breaks, busts, tries. We want to see it all from
belting
you.
Belting Adam Reynolds, just that's your belting. Job.
Go the GOAT.
Thanks, guys.
Just speechless. Eyeball big buffalo head and run him down.
Oh, yes.
Mark Nichols. Thanks to Budget Direct, proud founding premier partner of the Dolphins, NRL. It's Triple M.
Hey, we haven't talked a lot of UFC since Nick Cody was on the show. He was a massive fan of the UFC.
He?
I'm not sure if many of our listeners love the UFC. It's quite confronting, isn't it?
Mm.
Is that cage fighting MMA? Is it same or?
Similar, yeah.
Similar kind of concept?
Very similar.
Pretty aggressive.
So it's like basketball is a sport, NBA is the league, MMA is the sport, UFC is the league. Mixed martial arts.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
And then the league's
it's
the UFC.
Hectic, whatever
ultimate
it is.
Fighting.
But Conor McGregor probably up there with one of the most well-known, successful UFC fighters.
God, he's the one who brought it worldwide fame more than anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't fought for a while. He hasn't won a fight for a few fights. I think he's lost last 4 out of 5, hasn't won anything since 2020.
Isn't he putting more time into his Irish whiskey? That goes all right.
That goes all right. He doesn't need the money, that's for sure. What he's putting his time into, Marta and Dan,
is his
coaching.
Coaching
there's
what?
A new reality TV series coming out called The Ultimate Fighter, where three guys battle it out to win a contract in the UFC. And Conor McGregor is having a go at coaching. You know, some guys transition over from rugby league into coaching relatively well. Mm. Well, Conor's having a go. And it's not due to air until May. However, you know, social media and the world of social media, some of the filming has been leaked.
Is he coaching all three or just one of them? Too many details.
I think just one of them, perhaps. I found some of the audio. Do you want to have a listen? This is Conor McGregor, the greatest UFC fighter on the planet. I'm just going to say that I don't know.
Well,
if that's
he was
true.
At one stage. He was.
Tell me you
pound
know nothing about
pound.
UFC without telling me no. You know nothing without looking at UFC.
Pound
hey,
for pound.
This is the audio of him coaching from the sidelines one of his fighters.
Let your right hand go. Yes. Let your right hand go. Your right hand to the head. Right hand to the body. Keep that knee from you stepping in the middle. There you go. And again, make them meaningful. Yes. Beautiful.
Some of the comments were that perhaps he should have been using his own coaching efforts during his fight with Khabib because they insinuated that apparently he had no right no right hand.
But he likes telling
but
others.
But he likes telling others. They're like, oh, eat your own words, Conor McGregor. Who's this bloke telling, coaching other fighters he hasn't won a fight, you know, in the last, you know, 3 years, 4 years or something like that.
Any of his fighters throwing chairs at buses?
God, that was good. No, the best thing in UFC ever was him throwing a chair at a bus. Wonderful. That's
such
so
a
Irish.
Wonderful thing to do.
The most Irish thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, very much.
You know, like Kevvy Walters gets around in Broncos playing kit, you know, the jersey. Well, Conor McGregor in two rich man, true rich man style, three-piece suit while he's standing on the side. What a guy. Yeah. They said,
he's stylish.
One of the comments said, maybe he should have walked away from the rack with his right hand, put his right hand down, walked away from the rack when he picked up that shirt. He was wearing a relatively Larry shirt.
Yes.
But anyway, the ultimate fighter, tough, they're calling it.
Hey, just listen to this audio again. Does it remind you?
Let your right hand go, yes! Let your right hand go!
Does it remind you of anyone?
Go with him. Back on your line. Don't let him through. Go, Ali Cash. Come on, man, you're nearly there.
Coach Parker.
Could be a good reality TV show, the ultimate rugby league player.
And then after the match, Margot out there throwing a chair at the under-12s bus.
As or is they drive away.
Is that me coaching the refs, perhaps? The ultimate ref.
It's a seesaw battle.
It's a battle because it's a battle.
It's a battle.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Triple M's Battle of Brisbane.
Dolphins taking on the Broncos this Friday, 7 p.m. Suncorp Stadium. Three-game memberships are on sale now at dolphinsnrl.com.au. But even better, join us on the phone right now, 133353 for the greatest tug-off of all time.
This is the battle. This is the proper battle for Brisbane. 10 tuggers on each team with a 12-metre rope going for it. 10 people who have never met each other have to come together with team spirit and drive and passion.
And tug harder.
10 from the south, 10 from the north.
That's it. When we've got 20 tickets, so the winning team, everyone can bring a mate, and off you go that night. We're doing it Friday morning.
We've got six each on each of our teams so far. We're looking for the seventh member, and we said you've got to be a lifetime north sider or a lifetime south sider. Who we got?
Sarah from Narangba. Ooh, dirty. You can talk to her, Marto.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Marto, get your fins up.
Get your fins up. Well, no, it's not just about the teams, but good on the fins.
This is about representing the north side, Sarah. How long have you been there, and have you never been to the south side?
Oh, no, I've never been to the south side, always on the north side.
Did you grow up in Narangba? How far have you moved?
Yeah, I've been around a bit Cleveland, Scarborough,
Bribie
Islands, and now Narangba.
Cleveland, south side.
Oh, it is too.
Have you really lived in Cleveland, or were you telling a lie there?
She just rented.
You were thinking it was Bayside. That's Southside.
Jeez, Sarah.
Yeah. What do we do here?
We'll have to come back to Sarah.
How strong are you, Sarah?
Yeah, pretty strong. I work out.
Oh, do you?
Okay. I work out.
Okay. Oh, I can't ignore that. Right. Sarah, you're on the team.
Oh, yay! Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's up to you, Marto. Yeah. If you're willing to have dirty traders in your team, then that's on you. Daniel from Chambers Flat. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate. You're not a flip-flopper like Sarah, pretending you've lived on the north side for forever just to get a spot on the team. You've been a south sider for life.
Did you accidentally live in Caboolture at some stage, Daniel?
That you forgot about?
No, just on the south side. That's only one.
How long, Daniel?
35 years.
Oh, incredible.
Is that all?
And never strayed to the north.
Is that all?
He's only 35 years old.
Get past that bridge, it's too far, I think.
I know.
Sarah was 74. She only lived in Cleveland for a short
period. She's got memory loss.
She only rented there temporarily.
She forgot. She only went there on a train one day. Daniel, how big are you?
Tell me a bit about yourself.
How big?
I'm about
115
at the moment.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
how tall, Daniel?
6'3".
Oh,
we might be ringing Sarah back and listen, Sarah.
Daniel, are you a Broncos or a Dolphins supporter?
Dolphins supporter.
Oh, have you recently, obviously recently joined because they're in the new team, but who did you come across from?
Bunnies.
Oh, the Bunnies.
Followed Wayne Bennett. Did you follow
like
Wayne?
That, you know,
I bring myself to back the Broncos. I can't do it.
I said to Marto the other day, I just can't warm to the Bunnies as a team, Daniel. So I like that you've defected from them and come across to the Dolphins, and you're a Southsider, and you're a big unit, it sounds like. Bloody you're on Team Southside. Let's go.
How did I get Sarah?
Let's go.
You
Sarah?
You
put her in your team, you
Sarah from Cleveland.
Sarah from Cleveland.
We've We preference the Dolphins a lot in this chat, but we want to say that it's not about Dolphins v Broncos.
No, this is about the Brisbane versus.
Well, let me play the Broncos official song as well. Put your hooves up, put your hooves up. No, still Broncos. Put your hooves up,
put your hooves up. I bleed maroon, but I wear red.
Yeah. It's only for this week. It's okay. It's Marto and Margo
and Dan on Triple M. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
There's so much joy to being a parent, and you know, there's a lot of tears when you're a parent, when you say goodbye to them that first day of school. Oh, hello, when they go to school is when they go anywhere. You know, they leave you and you don't know whether they're ready to leave you and everything else. Can I tell you, we've just become empty nesters.
Oh. Well, Harry's been out of the house for a while,
Hillary's been a year and a half. Hillary's been lurking quite dangerously. Lurking.
She comes and goes.
Can
she
I
pleases?
Tell you, when they're 24, there are no tears. There are no tears. You can't get rid of them quick enough. You can't lend them your ute often enough to. You can have that. You can have everything.
Just go away.
Just go.
Building fences full time just to get rid of them.
I'm over helping her and the boyfriend. They've moved out.
How's it going with you and Kat? Because a lot of people.
So good.
A lot of people, their kids leave and then they go, oh, it's just us. And they don't like each other and then they have to spend time together. And then they go, hey, you know, it's been great, but let's go our separate ways. Not you and Kath.
No. The thing is, if you think about it, when you've got teen, you never know when they're going to come at you. Like, you never know when you're going to be. I can be nude the whole time now.
Just you and Kath wandering around in the nude.
Ooh. Underpants. Oh, well, no, I'm not being.
You and Molly Meldrum.
It's not as good as it used to be. It's not Reese Walsh wandering around your house nude, but still, it's something. But no one's going to come. You don't need to buy food. You can have an empty fridge and just, you'll walk up the road and get, because it's only you two.
Just go out for lunch.
You can do anything. We went to the pub the other day, all Saturday afternoon, because we got no kids. Having kids, it may be the greatest scam ever purported on adults in my whole life.
It's all right, Margot. You and
so
I.
It's so much fun. Yeah,
only have
keep
two decades.
Your kids.
2 decades left.
You've only got 20 years to go.
We'll be sweet.
Hey, don't bring me down with your negativity. Thank you. Yeah. My youngest is 7. I've only got 15 years to go.
He'll be at home until he's 27, though.
The stats show that they're staying at home a hell of a lot longer because they can't find a house. So you've probably got 25.
Time to invest in an apartment, Corey. Get rid of them.
It's Triple M.